Well, it is our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. This is one of those, well, I asked Renee if she would write the title on the board for me. Have four words: rejectors, hearers, professors, and doers. And all of us fit within one of those categories this morning. Now, there are some other categories. We could have neglectors, and there's some other categories, but rejectors, hearers, professors, and doers. So I'd like to begin over in the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter and ask an interest in your prayers today that the Lord would send His Word and that would accomplish what He will. If you will recall, when Jesus was brought before Pilate, they brought Him and they came, and He was in trial, so to speak. And in the 22nd verse, Pilate asked a question. He said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What shall I do with Jesus? And that is a question that is posed to us this morning. What are we going to do, or what should we do with Jesus? And we will equate Jesus with truth, because Jesus came, and it's the Scripture says in John chapter 1 that the truth dwelt among us. All right? So the truth was Christ in the flesh. And what are we going to do with Jesus? All of us are faced with that decision. What are we going to do with the truth that we know today? What shall I do, Pilate said. What shall I do with this man Jesus? The purpose of the gospel, and by definition, gospel is good news. So the purpose of the gospel, the purpose of Jesus Christ, was to bring about salvation. It was to bring redemption. It was to bring about a change in our life. But what are we going to do with the gospel? Because we all have access to the gospel. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with truth? Over in the book of John, in chapter 1, thank you, in John chapter 1, verse 11, the Scripture says, "He came unto His own." This Jesus, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. In other words, they were the rejectors. They rejected Christ. He came unto His own. He came to the Jewish people. And while there were some Jews that accepted the gospel as a people and as a nation, they rejected Jesus as the Son of God. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to such as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Why do people reject Jesus? What is the motivation behind those that just reject Him? I don't want anything to do with Him. Jesus said that men love what? They love darkness rather than light. And why is that? Because their deeds are evil. This is one of the reasons that people reject Christ. They reject truth. They reject the gospel because their deeds are evil. And I don't want to accept the light. And if I accept that there is even a God, then that means that there is some kind of responsibility that I have to that God. So I would rather not even accept that there is a God. And I would rather deny the truth of Jesus Christ. So He came unto His own received Him not. Over in the book of John chapter 6, we read about Jesus having disciples. And it says that some of them walk no more with Him. I was not watching what was going on up here. Professors. There were those that walked with Jesus that after a while, when they heard the truth, they walked away from Him. Now the Scripture says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and they walked no more with Him. That was referring to those that started out with Jesus and they walked with Him for a time. But as they heard more of His teaching, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to live it, and so they rejected Him and they walked away. Is it fair to ask you this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? Because we're all answering that question. It's not just with our mouth, but we are all answering that question by the way that we are living our life. What will you do with Jesus? Will we be one of those that will be in the category of those that have rejected him? Do you realize that when we have walked with Christ and we understand what the Lord wants of us and we walk away from the Lord, the scripture teaches us with clarity that the end is going to be worse than the beginning of those that one time had truth and rejected Jesus. It would be better for a man to never have been born than to reject Christ. It would be, the end is going to be worse for those that have known the truth and walked away from it than for those that never knew the truth at all. Because the analogy in the scripture is, how much sore punishment are those that have walked underfoot the blood of Jesus than those that shun Moses' law? In other words, what he's saying is, if you have one time known the truth and you have known what it meant to be saved and you rejected it down the road, there is no more place to be saved as long as we reject the blood of Jesus. If we will accept it again, the Lord will forgive us and he will receive us. But if we reject the power of the gospel and we walk away from who Jesus is and what he wants in our life, the end at the judgment is going to be much worse. I am mindful of the man, and I believe it was in Dayton, Ohio, and I won't get the story exactly right. But I remember hearing about the brother, the man that was in a meeting in the congregation in Dayton, Ohio, years ago, and he was under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord was dealing with him. He was not saved. And he was under conviction, and he walked out the doors, and it was either that night or the next day that he was in a car accident, and he went out into eternity. He had made a decision, I am not going to respond, and I'm not going to come and pray to be saved. And he rejected the dealings of God. Folks, this morning, it is a serious thing to reject the Lord. It's a serious thing to reject truth. Because there are some people that, and I've heard this for years, people say, we just need to preach Jesus. Don't talk about doctrine. Don't talk about all the other things in the Bible. Just preach Jesus. But Jesus is the truth. And if I reject truth, the truth of the New Testament, in essence, I am rejecting Christ himself, because he was the embodiment of truth. So if I reject his teaching and I reject what he taught, I am in essence rejecting him. So what will we do with Jesus this morning? It is a serious thing to turn our back on him. It's a serious thing to reject the Lord. Over in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the 3rd verse. The scripture says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. When was that time? Do you know this happened in Paul's time? And it's still the same way today. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned into fables. And this is when Paul was exhorting Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't worry about what people are wanting. Do you realize that we could have more people in the chapel this morning if we were to water down the word of God? We could have more entertainment and we could water it down and there would be more people, but we're all going to be faced with a decision. What will we do with Jesus? And for those that have rejected Jesus and the truth in this life are going to be accountable in the life to come. I would much rather do business with God now while I have opportunity. I would much rather come to a place of submission to the will of God now than to be humbled at the judgment, because there's no more recourse then. But there's a time, he said, they won't endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they're turning away from it. That's what's happening in our world today. People are rejecting truth. I want to go where I can just feel good about myself. I want to go where I can still feel good about my living in a condition of sin. I want to go and hear someone preach that will say it's okay. Everybody sins more or less every day. But that's not what the Bible teaches. What will you do with Jesus today? What will he do today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts? If you know God is calling for something in your life, you're faced with a decision. What will you do with Jesus? Will we leave the same as we came here this morning? All of us are making a decision, because a decision delayed is what? It's denying, isn't it? When we delay a decision, we are tacitly making a decision. What will you do with the truth that you know? What will you do this morning? And this is personal. I'm not throwing any stones. It is personal. When I know, when the Lord has dealt with my heart about something, what will I do with that? You don't have to even know about it, but between me and God, when the Lord deals with my heart, I have a decision to make. I can reject it, and I can put it out of my mind. I can hear it and say, okay, I know that's it, and not do it. I can profess with my mouth, or I can actually be obedient and be a doer of the word. You're faced with a decision. I'm faced with a decision. What will you do with this truth? Over in the book of Acts, the scripture teaches us that there's not salvation in any other except in Jesus Christ. What will you do with that? Because Christ is truth. So we can accept him or we can reject him. And that's a personal decision. The Lord is not going to twist our arms to accept him. He's not going to force people to be obedient to the word of God. We all have a choice to make. But we are making a choice by how we're living our life. So if the Lord were to look down on us, and he is, as he looks down on us individually, what does he see us doing with Jesus? What does he see? It's not just about being here on Sunday. We're talking about Monday at work and at school. We're talking about Tuesday in the privacy of your home. We're talking about Thursday or Friday night when you're out on vacation and no one's around. And what you do, no one is really seeing that knows you. You see, that's when the Lord, he knows how we're living our life. And we're faced with decisions. What will you do with Jesus? Will you answer that in your own heart this morning? Would that be too much to ask? What will you do with the truth that God has talked to you about? There are some things I don't understand this morning, and I would like to have more understanding. But that does not negate the truth that I do understand. Some people say, well, I don't understand that. Well, then let's leave that with the Lord and pray about it and seek him for understanding. But what about the truth that you do know is right? What are you doing with the things you do know the Bible teaches? What are you doing about the things that you do know God wants you to change in your life? Are you rejecting it? We're going to be accountable. Over in the book of James, and there's so much that could be said about each one of these, but in the book of James, there's a very familiar passage, James chapter 1, in verse 21. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Accept the truth. That's what he was saying. What will we do with this truth? He said, lay aside all of the wrong and accept the truth. And he said, but be ye doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving your own self. In other words, there is a place that we can be deceived this morning because I've heard the word of God. Do you know there are people that take comfort because they know what the word is? There are people that take comfort that know, I knew a man many years ago, and he knew the word, and he knew church history, and he could tell you about the pioneer ministers and what they did, and he had it all down. But you know, he had missed something. He had it up here. but he didn't have it in here. It's not enough to be a hearer of the word this morning. He said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that looks in a glass or a mirror. He looks in the mirror and he beholds himself and he goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, whoever looks in the word of God, the truth, and it says, and continues therein, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So there are those that were being addressed here that were hearers of the word. They heard it. I come and I hear, and I know, and I get comfort, because I know what the truth is. And I came and I heard the message and I read my Bible and I'm a hearer of the word. But he said, don't be deceived. Which lets me know that there's a possibility of being deceived. There's a good possibility that we can hear the word so much that we get numb to it. And may I just preach to us as home folks? I think this happens a lot among God's people. I think we get numb to the truth. That's why it's so exciting to be able to go and share the truth with people that have never heard it. They actually get excited about it sometimes. There's actually, it's new. It's like, we've never heard this. This is, and they can look in the Word of God and they say, what you're saying is right. And I still say this morning, I'll tell you again, and I quote this, I tell people in other countries, I tell my home congregation this, you measure everything I say by the Word of God. Everything. Search it out. And if what I say isn't according to the Word of God, don't listen. But accept the Word of God. If it's the truth, Lord, help us not to get numb. Lord, help us not to be a hearer of the Word and not a doer. There are people that can give you a list. I've seen often, and you have too, people that have walked away from truth, but they will be so careful to correct you where they think you're wrong. Well, you're supposed to do this and this and that. It's like, well, what are you doing? You know what the truth is. You know what God wants us to do. The God is a holy God. But what are we doing with it? Are we living it? Or is it just a head knowledge? He said, don't be deceived. Don't just be a hearer. What will we do with Jesus? What will you do with this truth? Are we going to hear it and walk away and forget what we know? Or are we going to be a doer of the word? He said, a doer of the work. If we will be a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. You want to be blessed today? Anybody want to go home blessed today? Hearing what I have to say will not bless you in and of itself. But if you will be a doer of the word, you can go home with a change in your life, with power, with victory, invigorated and changed because of the power of the gospel. What will you do with this man, Jesus? What will you do with this truth? And then sometimes people hear the word of God and they neglect it. I know what the Lord has been talking to me about, but you know what happens when you end up neglecting something for so long? You end up going back to this first one we talked about. When we neglect following through with what we have heard and what we know is truth, and we neglect it for so long, it turns into rejection. And how many people that usually, do you think all of the churches in the United States today that people are going to, how many of them do you think people would say, I'm rejecting Jesus? I mean, is there anybody here that would just out and out say, I'm rejecting Jesus? But do we recognize that if we are hearers of the word and we neglect it, day after day and year after year, it turns into rejecting Christ himself. And so hearing is not enough this morning. So let's move on to the next one. We have rejectors, we have hearers, and we have professors. And just so you know, if you are interested in spelling, and I don't know how it was spelled to start with, but I did look this up to be sure it was an O and not an E. Because, you know, we think a professor, someone that's teaching in a university, is a professor. But when you profess something, you are a professor. What are you professing this morning? All of us are professors of something, are we not? All of us are teaching something. We are professing something. I'm a sinner. That's my profession. My profession is I'm a sinner. Thankfully, it's not. My profession is that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. That's my profession. But if we profess something with our mouth, does that make it a reality? We were talking in the Young People Sunday School this morning about hypocrites, and that's what an actor is. By definition, an actor is a hypocrite, or a hypocrite is an actor, because they are portraying something that they really aren't. I told them, you put me in a pair of cowboy boots and give me a cowboy hat and give me a rope. I'm still not a cowboy. I don't know if I'd look like one even with all that. But if I did, it still wouldn't make me a cowboy. We were kind of chuckling. I have one family member that they like cowgirl stuff and put her on a horse. She fell out. She figured out she wasn't a cowgirl. It didn't take very long. So you can dress someone up, but it doesn't make them that. We can come to service and we can actually literally dress up. And we can put on our nice clothes, and we can come to service, and we can profess, I'm a Christian. But Jesus addressed this. In Titus, he did too. Paul did too. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, they profess that they know God. In other words, that's their testimony. I am a professor. I profess that I know God. He said they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. They profess. I acknowledge I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But if someone is a professor, does that mean that they're literally following in the path of Christ? So Paul's warning was they profess, but they deny Him in their works, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work and reprobate. That was the condition of the Pharisees, many of the Pharisees. They were self-righteous. They professed. What's your profession this morning? Do we not all have one? Is it okay to ask us? I just like this to be real this morning. What's your profession? What do you profess? Are you saved or not? I would rather, if you're not walking like Christ, I'd rather you just profess to be a sinner, because then you give the Lord something to work with, don't we? That's why the Spirit said, I would rather that you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. Because when you're cold, you acknowledge, I'm cold. I don't have anything. And then we're at least acknowledging the need that we have, and the Lord can come in and start dealing with us. But if we are just professors, but we're not living it, we are in a very dangerous state, because it's a state of deception. If we say we are Christians, it means we are to be following Christ. So what is your profession today? And you know, that's very personal. But that's why it's important to testify with our mouth too, because we are letting everybody else know, this is my profession. If I get up and say I'm saved, I hope that you see me living saved when you come across my path. I hope you see in me loving my enemy. I hope you find me forgiving people that haven't treated me right. I hope you find me being honest in my business dealings. I hope you find me treating my wife right. Why? Because I said I'm saved. I profess. It gives me something to live up to, doesn't it? Gives me something to step up to the plate and say, I profess it and I want to live it. But Paul was saying there's a lot of people that profess, but they're not living it. So what is your profession today? Are you living it? Well, he went on then, thinking about the Pharisees. They kept the law, all right? Now, the Pharisees kept the law, but they missed the essence of what it meant to serve God. So is there any danger of that in people that are fellowshipping, worshiping in the church of God? All right, one of it, you agree? Let me give you an example. I can come and I can dress a certain way, and I can give money, and I can pray, and I can fast, and I can testify, and I can sing, and I can not beat my wife, and I can say, okay, I'm good, base is covered. But I can still not have a relationship with the Lord. I can appear outwardly righteous, but inside I can be full of lust and carnality, and in my heart I'm not walking with the Lord. So there's a danger. I want us to hear the Word of God. I want us to profess to be saved. But a profession with the mouth is not enough. Because Jesus said over in Matthew 7, 21, He said, not everyone that saith unto me what? Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, do you know what family I'm from? I'm third generation Church of God. Do you know who my grandpa was? Does the Lord really care? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? My history is not relevant to my life today. And don't misunderstand. It's relevant in that it has impacted me. And I appreciate a godly heritage, but it's up to me and how I live my life. And I'm not going to stand before God and say, but Lord, do you know who my grandparents were, or who my parents were? Or Lord, do you know where I went to church? That's not my salvation. My salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ, that I chose to embrace Christ and the truth that He taught, and I lived it by His grace and by His power. What will we do with this man Jesus? Are we just going to profess Him with our mouth and deny Him with our works, or will we follow after Him by the conduct of our life? God may use the talents of people, but that does not equate to salvation and righteousness. We can cast out devils and work miracles, but that does not equate to salvation. The Scripture tells us that. We won't take the time to read it this morning, but the Scripture teaches us that. Oh, Lord, I've cast out devils in Your name. What do You mean You don't know me? I don't know who You are, and You've worked miracles, and You've cast out devils, but did you walk with Jesus? Did you humble yourself? Were you kind? Were you forgiving? Were you loving? That's what it means to follow Jesus. But Lord, I fasted. I gave more than most people. Lord, I dressed just a little bit more carefully than most everybody else. But what about your heart? What about your forgiveness? There's bitterness. There's unrighteousness. There's lust. There's things in your heart that aren't right. So it's not enough this morning to be a professor. That's not enough. And so where does that leave us? It leaves us with being a doer. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, very familiar passage of Scripture, therefore, He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, okay, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And you know the story. Let's just summarize it. When the floods came and the wind blew and it beat on that house stood firm. But it was the foolish man that heard the word of God that did not do it, that when the storms of life came, it says the house, it fell down. So what will we do with Jesus? Let's not be hearers only, but let's be doers of the word. Jesus said, he that hears my word and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. I want to be wise this morning. I want you to be wise. And our wisdom is going to come, number one, by accepting Christ, by hearing the word of God, by letting it work and professing it, but following through and being a doer of the word. Because hearing and professing is not enough. So, he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy. And in conclusion, in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, the Scripture says, if you be willing and what? And obedient, you shall do what? You'll eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But it doesn't stop there. I'm going to read you to the next verse. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There's going to be a consequence to rejecting truth and rejecting Christ. There's a consequence. There's a consequence to being a hearer only, There's a consequence to professing something that we're not really living. But there's a great blessing this morning as we are a doer of the word. So, as we conclude this service, where are you at? Are you a rejecter? Are you a hearer only? Are you just a professor? Or are you a doer? And so Pilate asked that question, what shall I do with this man Jesus, who is the Christ? What will you do with the truth that we have? It's up to you, and it's up to me. Amen.